Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose A. Nuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, so before I get into this show, I just have to do a little unscripted ADD side note because I gotta give y'all my take on the slap that was heard around the world. So for all those people that don't know, and if you don't know, I'm kind of jealous. What bubble are you living in? I would like to come join you. I'm assuming all y'all Negroes know at this point that Will Smith slapped with an open hand like a black mama slapping her 16-year-old daughter in the 80s and early 90s across the face, like a pimp slap to Chris Rock at the Oscars that, mind you, was being produced by Will Packer, who is also a black man. So you hear about black on black crime in the news, but you never think that you really gonna see it like on TV, like in real life, and not on like, you know, SVU or Law and Order or, you know, shows on TV, right? Where they make up how horrible black people are. Guys. So picture it. I was sitting in my living room of my overpriced apartment in Houston, Texas. And I was very proud of myself because the episode came out last Sunday and it was great. And I was like, thank you, God, I did it again. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Oscars and I'm like, oh, so black. It's great. It's so black. I'm loving it. Thanks, Will Packer. You know, can't say Oscars so white anymore because look at this blackety black black stuff. This is great. My spirit was warm. And then Chris Rock came on and he was telling some of his weird little ass jokes per usual, you know. And then all of a sudden the sound went out. It went blank, and then Will Smith, you saw him get up, and then you didn't see anything else, but then you saw Will Smith's mouth. You didn't hear any sound, but you saw him mouthing, and so I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Oh, is that? As you know, there was a lot of lip reading going on at the Oscars, you know, due to CODA. But still, I was like, oh. But what I didn't see was Will Smith slap the shit out of Chris Rock until I gone over to Twitter. And very quickly, thank you, people in Japan and people in Australia who got the live feed without interruption, with full sound in all its glory, and then promptly posted it on social media. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because my nosy ass was very much in delight to see and find out what actually happened. But then, after the delight of getting to see what actually happened, the actual horror set in that, oh shit, he just slapped him on national television, international television. Oh my God. And then my immediate thought was, oh, I wish I could do that to some of my coworkers. And then immediately, Whitney Houston's very famous song came into my head.
It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway.
Yes, this is how my brain works. So then I went into a spiral for the next 40 some minutes until it was time to announce the category that Will Smith was nominated for, which is Best Actor. You guys, I was like holding my breath like, are they gonna let this nigga win? I was so confused because at this point, you realize, like, he clearly is still sitting there because he actually won. If you didn't get that, you just don't understand these crazy ass award shows. And most of the time, these people know if they won or not. Like, that's why Beyonce was sitting over there in the corner. She knew she didn't win. Because if Beyonce was going to win, she would have been sitting where Billie Eilish was sitting, like dead center stage, right? So, like, I knew Beyonce wasn't going to win because they had her over there in the corner. And then they had Will Smith right there. And it's like, you going to win. But that was even before the slap. And then the slap happened. I was like, wait, so is you not going to win? Because, So here's my take for all of y'all that may or may not be interested. They was wrong. Both of them. They was wrong. I don't believe in respectability politics. So no, these rich niggas did not set us back. White people gonna think what white people think about us. Regardless of two rich niggas having an altercation at what used to be the whitest thing in America. Now, the thing that gets me is the white people commentary. That's annoying, but not about the slap that was heard around the world. The thing that gets me is the white people commentary about the in memory part of the night. And so Will Packer did his All Blacks Do, and he essentially had a celebration of life. So for all my non-black listeners, a celebration of life is when black people come together and they mourn slash celebrate the life of their loved one. And what that looks like is a bit of black church and party and celebration. So you cry and you still shout and jump around and thank God for the life that this person had. It's not solemn in nature at all. It's very loud. It's very colorful. It's very active. It's what you saw on that stage. And it is what the ancestors have put inside of us to do when we celebrate those that have gone on to join the ancestors. So I know you don't understand that. And so it felt weird and it felt awkward and it was just, stop centering yourself. Learn something. Okay? Thank you. Now, on to the show for this week. So happy you are back. So understand, it's April now. That means we are in, officially in, solidly in, the beginning of Q2. So everything I've talked about up until now is very important because the next 6 months, especially if you are in a company that is on a calendar year fiscal calendar. So that means your business reporting is the same as the actual calendar of the year starting in January, ending in December. Now, there are some corporations, because they like to do funny tax things and with their accounting and things, that's what I say. You can fight me on that. But they have their fiscal year, their business year. It will start in, say, June and end in May, or it'll start in July and end in June or something to that effect. Like, you know, I've worked for companies that started in September 1st and ends August 31st. That's their fiscal calendar. It doesn't match up to the actual yearly calendar. And so that means, though, regardless, we're in the middle of the year, the next 6 months, you really need to be thinking through what you are doing to line up all the things we've talked about in the PI model for career success. So today, I know I broke down in the previous episodes, the PI model, you know, I started with I because I felt that's the thing you can control the most. And then I moved to what's most important, which is the E, which is exposure. And then I talked about performance because it's not worth the most, but it means a lot still. So now that I've broken all of those different parts down, today is a bit of a bonus episode where we bring everything together and I give you the most important things you need to think about as you are working to get promoted this year. But first,
Corporate Warriors Highlights!
Today, I have a brilliant badass as the Corporate Warrior Spotlight. Her name is Chinwe Isime, and I hope I pronounced that right. Chinwe Isime is an award-winning lawyer, trailblazing corporate executive, writer, and speaker who is passionate about inspiring generations of women leaders. She is the author of the book Brilliance Beyond Borders. Remarkable women leaders share the power of immigrace. She is managing director and chief anti-bribery officer at Citigroup currently. She is the first person to hold this title in the bank's history. Prior to Citi, she spent a combined 5 years at Goldman Sachs in various regulatory risk management roles. She served as a law professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law. She began her career as a corporate associate at LaBeouf, Lamb, Green, and McRae, LLP. She obtained a BA in political science, summa cum laude, from the City College of New York, and a Juris Doctor from Harvard Law School. She lives in New Jersey with her husband and 3 kids. You go, girl. I am so excited to see someone address the particular nuances of being an immigrant in the corporate world. It is hard enough when you just regular black. Now add on, you got immigrant with it. It's just more shit to deal with. So I am excited. Her book just came out. I haven't gotten it, but I'm definitely gonna get it, gonna read it, and I'll report back. And maybe even we might be able to get Chinwe on the show. We'll see. I'll work on that. If anybody knows her, tag her, let her know. I need to holler at her. Hey, girl, hey. But love all the things that you're doing, not only for your community, but every woman who is in this corporate space, just trying to make and trying to thrive. That's all we're trying to do. So thank you for all that you do, girl. Now, as I said before, today, I'm bringing together the most important to-dos from the PI model of career success. And first, we're going to start with performance. So the key thing I wanted you guys to take away from performance is that performance equals perception. So whatever these folks perceive about you, that is actually what they're going to equate your performance to. Let me say that again. Whatever these folks perceive about you is what they are going to decide your performance is equal to. So if they think you're a rock star, you're going to be a rock star. If they think you're mediocre, you're going to be mediocre. If they think you're a solid contributor, they're going to just rate you as a solid contributor. So literally, you can't just focus on doing the work. You have to also focus on what perception is your actual work doing. So understand, you can be killing it. And if the narrative is she high, then guess what? Your performance capital won't open any doors for you. It won't move the needle for you. It won't do anything for you. And the door you want your performance to open is the door to sponsorship. So the thing is, everyone has to see you as a rock star first. So what do you need to do to be seen as a rock star?
The question is, what do I need to do to be seen as a rock star?
And the answer is, you really got to get back to basics.
Basics. It's stuff everybody kind of knows about.
Everybody doesn't kind of know that.
Okay, shut down there. So what are you talking about?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll talk a little bit more about this right after this message.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys. So Actually, I'm gonna break all this stuff down with what those basic things are. During April's live session that is exclusively for Patreon members. So if you haven't signed up yet, it's not too late for you to sign up and be able to make this special April live class, basically, with me, where I am going to give you all the tips, tricks, and tactics that you need to further develop your individual pie plan for your promotion. You know, I don't say let them eat cake. I say let them eat pie. Now, back to the show. All right, guys, welcome back. So understand basic things. So when I say basic things, I'm going to give you a couple of hints just in case you know you're not going to join us in the Patreon. Things like executive email communication, right? And now I'm going to talk about how do you write an executive email. And no, it's not how you would write an email to your just regular coworker. Things like recap emails. There's an art to recap emails. We're going to talk about that. Calendar management, one-on-ones. And I've talked about this in other episodes, but I'm gonna do a little bit of deep dive on what that one-on-one needs to look like when you're like super focused on getting promoted. So again, the basics, guys. These are the things that help shape your performance. So it's not just about getting things done, but it's also about how you get them done. So that's where image comes in. And in this segment, I want to talk about what image really means. And image is the narrative of your personal brand. So here's the deal. It's a new day. So the old rules we were taught don't exactly apply the way they used to. We were told, put your head down, work hard, just outwork them. Your work will speak for itself. But the problem is your work can't actually talk. And oh, by the way, you can't outwork charismatic, mediocre Mike.
I mean, it's true.
You just can't. Everybody likes him. They think he's great. So then, again, perception is, well, he's great, so he must do great work. Now, the problem is, you know, and I know, and everybody else really knows, like deep down, that mediocre Mike ain't did shit. He's just super likable. And he white, and he remind the higher up, you know, the one with all the influence, of him when he was his age, and he seems so eager, and he manages up very well. And so now you stuck doing Mike's, where a Mike will come along and be like,
oh, hey, Felicia, could you help me with this project? You're so smart.
And then if you were mean to mediocre, charismatic Mike, now you look bad. So now you got to help this motherfucker with his work so he continue to look good. He don't give you no credit. And then there you are, head down, working extra hard, twice as hard, 10 times as hard. And for what? For nobody to know your goddamn name. Well, boo, let me tell you, it's a new day. So, pencils down and let's focus. Your image and your performance actually go hand in hand. The performance is the what. So this is just what needs to get done, right? So all your deliverables, getting them done on time, you know, doing them to the best of your ability. Most of our work is highly subjective. It's like one boss could like how you wrote that email and another boss could hate how you did it. One boss could like your PowerPoints and another boss could be like, it's not pretty enough. It doesn't tell enough of a story. Sorry, I had a flashback. Okay. So basically, performance is a what. That's easy. You just get your shit done. Your image, though, is how you get it done. I used to get a lot of feedback about my how. People say, it's the how. Because what you're not going to do is outwork me, right? I'm a Black woman in America. I know what this is. But The problem is how I would get things done. Basically, I was making the white people uncomfortable, right? So I didn't have what charismatic, mediocre Mike had. I didn't have a white-leaning charisma in the cultures I was in, because at the end of the day, I truly just wanted to be my black ass self. But that doesn't work in any of the work cultures that I landed jobs in. And probably most of the work cultures that you guys are in, that's not a good idea. Don't be like the Oscars, basically. So I had to adjust my style to survive. Now, my advice to you and what I'm wanting you to do in order to get promoted is for you to adjust your style to thrive.
So wait a minute. What you trying to say, girl? You telling me I can't be myself?
No. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is you've got to be intentional. So you must observe the culture, observe yourself, flex, and use what you got to get what you want. You just got to be thoughtful about it. Now, after the break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you the most important thing you need to know about the pie model. And yes, hint, it has to do with exposure. When we get back. Hey guys, do you live in Atlanta? If you do, why don't you come on out and see your girl? I'm going to be speaking at the She League conference this year, and I'm actually going to be breaking down the pie model. And I'm going to go deep, deep, deep into all the things you need to do to use this model for success to get paid and promoted. She League, what's that? Well, on Saturday, April 23rd, 2022, the second the She League, She Leads, She Excels, She Inspires conference will be taking place in person at the hotel at Avalon. So the tickets are on sale. Go check out the SheLeague.org/2022-conference. And I will put a link in the show notes. Please come out and support your girl. It's going to be a great day. This conference is action-packed and it's all for young, ambitious women of color getting it out here in these corporate streets. There's all kinds of strategies on interview prep and resume building, helping you win in negotiations, on how to get promoted. That's my section. Tips on utilizing a mentor or a sponsor in the workplace. Like, there's going to be panel discussion, networking. It's going to be just a marvelous good ass time. And I'm so, so excited and so honored to be a part of this. I'm so excited because one of my besties, Tia Cummings Hopkins, the SVP for Global Brand Marketing at Square, is also speaking at the conference. So it is going to be a fabulous, wonderful, girlfriend-filled, loving on each other, uplifting each other, dropping gems on each other time. So come out, y'all. If you're in the Atlanta area, it will not disappoint, okay? So come see you, girl, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, guys. So let's say you have done your due diligence. You have gotten objective feedback about your performance and your image. And so you're showing up in your full self, but in a way that's palatable to the culture of your workplace, right? So you know you have all those pieces together, but yet you're trying to get promoted and you can't. Like, your managers keep saying, yeah, yeah, you're doing great. And they might be like, oh, well, you just need to do this one more thing. And then you do that thing. It's like, oh, well, okay. And there's always this something. The problem is exposure. You have not built enough relationships, nor have you attracted a sponsor. So there's a little secret about sponsorship. Most times you don't know who your sponsor is. Like, you know, it's one of those high up muckety monks, but you don't quite know exactly who it is. And the thing is, when you've attracted, you know, your light has shined so bright because you're a rock star. You attract all these senior leaders to you because they're like, oh, who is that? Oh, I've heard about you. You know, you start getting that kind of stuff. But you don't know who's the little mastermind behind the scenes in the room saying, oh, no, Felicia, that's the one. She's a high performer. She's going to do great things. She's amazing. Like, you don't know who exactly that person is sometimes. Sometimes you know, like, sometimes you know who other people's sponsors are. Like, they make that shit real clear. Like, Bob is great. Bob. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Good to see you on the course this weekend. Like, they're like out in the open talking about they got together at the golf course. And they never think about how that make anybody else feel. Because fuck your feelings. Okay. But anyway, again, having flashbacks. Okay. So the thing is, you need to intentionally and forcefully go build those relationships. Now, when I say forcefully, I'm not talking about Will Smith forceful. No, that's too much. A lot too much. What I'm talking about is you need to take a step back now because your what is stellar, your how is conforming to the organization, and you're very likable, right? It's all about likability. So now, because you're still probably doing the most in those two areas, you need to shift your focus. You need to get your exposure up. And a lot of times people think of exposure as, oh, I'm going to get to present my big project to all the senior leaders. That's great, but that's really just you showing off your how. Do you get to like have the senior leaders learn more about you? Do you get to learn more about them? Do you get to see them on a human level and they see you on a human level and they realize like, oh, wow, this person reminds me of me now, even though they don't look like me? Do you get there? No, you don't get there by just presenting your big awesomeness project. So what do you need to do? You need to take a step back after you deliver the big hairy project, right? And you need to focus on only the high priority things, but then you also need to block off time and set up coffee chats with senior leaders. I hear the collective groans. Why? I don't even like seeing them in these big meetings. I don't have anything in common with these people. They're weird. They don't understand me. I don't understand them. Why do I have to talk to them? Why can't I just do my work? I know. Here's why. Goes back to the foundations of human behavior. I'm not gonna co-sign on anything or anyone that I don't really know, that I don't feel comfortable with. Now, when you add racism to the mix, they're not comfortable with you and your black ass. They're just not. Why? Because they don't know you. That's why. The thing is, when race comes into it, as black women, right? Here's the deal. Human behavior. I quickly, easily identify and understand people that through the constructs I've been taught, consciously and subconsciously, if I feel like you're like me, I just will like you because there's just this unspoken understanding. And then this makes me feel comfortable, right? So that's why we're always struggling with this idea, you know, why we're calling white people out about centering themselves all the time, because they center themselves to make themselves comfortable. And our society has just kind of gone along with that because of the construct of whiteness. And so to break all that down and what that means for you in this moment is that you have to get over all of that stuff and go out of your comfort zone and be vulnerable and be human and see this other person as a human and meet them in a human way, which is why coffee chats are awesome sauce. Because what is more human than eating and drinking? Start there. It's the first thing you have in common, and you drink. And now you can eat and drink and chat. And who doesn't stomach a chat? everybody don't like to chat. I like to chat. And I realized, like, who doesn't like to chat? And I was like, no. There's lots of people that don't want to chat. Especially us. Especially at work. But the point is, if it's a good chat, it could be a good chat. It might be a good chat. But I need you to stay open-minded. And I need you to see these senior leaders not as this looming authority figure that everybody wants to paint them as. But I need you to see them as the human that has to put their drawers on every day like everybody else, right? I mean, I hope they have drawers on, but anyway. So what do you say to these senior leaders after you've set up these coffee chats? How do you make sure you get the coffee chat and get on the calendar? Well, that is what I'm going to break down in April at the live session exclusively for my Patreon members. Yay! But I will leave you a couple of hints just for listening to the show. I need you to get the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Now, if you've been a diehard listener of this show, this isn't a surprise to you. You know what this is. But if you're new, go get that book. If you old, well, not old, but you are old head to the True MBA show. You've been riding with us all these years. And if you don't have this book by now, why are you still listening to this show? Because I done told you to get this book and read this book and keep this book with you. I literally have this book on my table in front of me right now.
Why that book, Felicia? What does that have to do with like coffee chats and senior leaders?
It helps you with the human element of conversation with people who may be hard to converse with. And senior leaders for us sometimes are very hard to converse with. And the art of being able to read and understand a person quickly will forever help you tremendously and be in your favor. And if you're going to be setting up time one-on-one with these senior leaders in your organization, you need to quickly be able to assess this person, what motivates them, how they act, how they react, how they may perceive you, how you can shape your perception for them and help them become a sponsor to you. And I'm going to talk about all that in our live session in April. So, all right, guys, listen. If you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. And yes, people, I'm human. I don't always have the answer, okay? Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me, Felicia Ann Rose Nuha. Or you can email me at ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Now, if I don't get back to you within 48 hours, that's 2 business days, email me again and rise that bad boy right to the top of my inbox. Because listen, guys, the show is growing a little bit. I'm getting a lot more letters than I used to get. So keep me honest. You know, I want to respond to everybody in a timely fashion, and I'm here to help. And that's why I started this show. So thank you everyone who signed up for Patreon. I appreciate you. Thank you people who have been rocking with me from the beginning when I set the Patreon up during the throes of the pandemic. I owe you guys big time, and you have special rewards coming. So thank you for rocking with me. Thank you to all my friends and family for supporting me in this show. We get to keep going because of supporters like you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And don't do the Will Smith at work, because unlike Will Smith, you will get charges pressed against you, okay? Okay, keep it in, hold it together. Don't act out, go to therapy. And until next time, keep it trill, but not that trill, okay? Bye, guys. See you next week. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia Ann Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann, with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Brian Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.